You ready for the word tonight?
All right. Let's go over if you brought your Bible this evening. How many singles, before I get to that, how many singles do we have in here? Singles do we have in here? My goodness. I don't know what the count is of that. It might be close to half. I don't know, quite maybe. So how many of you singles, if you're single, you want to be married? Anybody in here want to be married? Praise the Lord. I didn't look over here. How many singles want to be married? Okay. We got a few. Probably, most of you that are single want to be married. So we're going to talk a little bit about picking somebody tonight. And so, huh? Oh, I got a funny story to tell you about Mama. Mama doesn't want to be married. I was preaching down in Kansas City on Sunday, and they were watching. And I came home, and every now and then I get a compliment from Mama on my preaching. She keeps me humble. Come home, don't say a word about the service, you know. Helps my faith a whole lot. But anyway, she said, I came home on Sunday. She tells you. She just don't say. But so I came home on Sunday and she said something about how good the service was. I said, praise the Lord. I said, did it make you want to get married? She said, no, it wasn't that good. So I'll do better. I promise to do better. I promise. But praise God. If you want to be married, you're single and you want to be married, we're going to get you some help tonight. Praise the Lord. And so it's normal for most people that are single want to be married. You know, the Bible doesn't say that everybody has the gift of celibacy. It says there's only a few, right? Hallelujah. So that's not the gift that the vast majority of people have. So therefore, the vast majority of people that are single, they want to be married. And it's God's plan for them to be married. Amen. Remember, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so that's what we're going to be sharing about tonight. There's going to be some things tonight we share that will really, to be honest, help singles, you know, in their consideration for who they want to marry, choosing a mate, you might say. Then second of all, there's going to be things tonight that we share that'll be helpful to parents that help train their children on who they should choose to marry. Does that make any sense? So we don't want to take it both ways. If you're a parent here, there's something here for you, especially if you got younger children. Now, if you're married while we're sharing, you realize, well, we didn't do it right. Well, they're the will of God now, so just go ahead and stick with it. Praise God. Amen. That's absolutely the truth. Make it work. The love of God will make it work. Yes. Besides that, I've seen God work in people's lives even before they were saved and got them the right mate.
Yes. Yes.
You know, even though they weren't saved. So, you know, don't let the devil hound you about that. He can really beat people up sometimes. They don't deal with that and cast down those imaginations. But that's not our subject tonight. We'll get into, this series. We've been progressing on it a little bit. Really, the honest truth about it, the unction's been more on raising children and on this than marriage. We preached on marriage last Sunday. But as you can tell, if you already heard, that didn't go over real well. So... So we're going to get back into raising children tonight. And especially training them to pick the right person or to choose the right mate. Marriage can either be heaven on earth or be hell on earth. It's best to spend time praying ahead of time about who you're going to marry and work it all out between you and God. Settle it real clear. Get it real clear. Then have to pray afterwards after you're married and you're in the marriage union and have to pray just to keep your sanity. That's no fun. That's not God's plan. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
So one of the things that the God's established over in the Old Testament, you can see it in Genesis, he established the institution of marriage, or let's put it this way, the family. He instituted marriage, which is the beginning of a family.
Yeah.
He did it long before government or human government was ever put into place. He did it before the church even came on the scene. It's basic, really, the foundational institution of society. The devil is after homes and families. I shared it a week and a half ago on Sunday. I shared that it's more difficult to find even a Christian family today that's not got some sort of struggle, hardship, pain, hurtful things that happen because of a few things that really were violated. A few things, basic things that if people, Christians, were taught right about it, they wouldn't have to go through certain things. And I'm telling you, marrying right is one of the big ones. Dear Lord Jesus. So we're going to look at some of this tonight, because if this can be right, it can avoid a lot of family problems. And then you could look at a lot of different directions of that. But because who you marry, it might be the most, probably the second or third most important decision in your life. I think we ought to spend more time studying it and meditating on the Word of God, getting our minds renewed about it, than we do preparing and studying for our driver's license. But most people barely think anything about how to pick a mate. They just wait till their little heart goes pitter-patter. You realize, well, the little affections fall in love, whatever that is, fall in love. And so they say, well, this must be God, but really a lot of it's the soul. There are flesh marriages, people attracted to each other's flesh. There's soul marriages where people have affections for one another. They kind of like one another. And that's not the divine kind of love, but there is the divine kind of love. Now, I believe you ought to have all three, to be honest with you. God's not going to have you marry somebody ugly. You laugh, but it's the truth. Leave them to the world, man. Just get you a good one. A lot of married people looking down right now. They're just... Yeah, I'll tell you, that's exactly the truth. I told Pastor Debbie that she might have some things to interject here in the service tonight. But if you're a Christian, have you ever noticed somebody becomes a Christian, starts walking in the light, they actually start looking better? Yes. You ever notice that? Yes. Praise the Lord. They get their mind renewed. They start learning a little bit how to look nice. And anybody and everybody can look nice. God didn't create ugly. Sin created ugly. Anyway, that's all free. We go a lot of rabbit trails tonight. But the thing about the marriage union is it takes more than two people just being a Christian to make it work. It's a little like, I remember, how many years ago, 40 years ago, we elected a president in the United States that was a good Christian man, but he was one of the worst presidents we've ever had. You understand? Yeah. And the same thing's true about marriage. Yeah. There's more to it than just being a Christian. Yes. You got to think right. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Whoever you're going to marry has to be married to has to think right. Yes. Nothing worse than somebody that's zigging when you're zagging. Does that make any sense? So we gotta look beyond just, what is that, 2 Corinthians 6, we're there, verse number 14, where it talks about be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We got to look beyond that. That is a basic, fundamental, foundational entry place. But that is not all that there is to qualifications for somebody to be married to somebody. There's a whole lot more. We're going to spend some time looking at it in the Word of God. Thank God for 2 Corinthians 6:14. Thank God for that. We need to know that, but don't think that that's the ultimate. I mean, that's all that there is. How many of you have ever met any people that you were surprised when you found out later they were Christians? Because some people, they're just Christian in name only. They don't live like God. They don't serve God. They don't love God. They don't put Him first. They don't have your values, or what's important to you is not important to them. They don't believe in going to church. They don't believe in the basic principles of, you know, giving God your life and living clean and living right, living pure. They're more worldly than they are spiritual. And they're going to make a terrible mate. Doesn't matter if their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They'll make a terrible mate. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. So this is one of the most critical decisions that you're ever going to make. And to be honest with you, it's for life. So it's not something to just kind of go into sort of, you know, without really deep consideration in prayer. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if we can just get into this a little bit tonight, there's no pain. A friend of mine, and I'll be honest, I'm going to give him credit, Chris Cody. He's become more and more a good friend of mine. And I have learned to know him and respect him. Actually, enough, I'll just tell you, to be honest with you, we added some ministers to the board, the church board, here this year, because there's several things that would have helped us on. It helps us on. So to make it short, he was one of the ones I added.
Amen.
Because I have that kind of respect for him. He's got a good, solid ministry. He's a good, solid Christian man, a good, solid pastor. I mean, just solid.
Amen.
Love him. He and his wife got a good marriage. They got stellar kids. Don't tell the kids I said that. But they got stellar kids. They did some things right.
Amen.
And so anyway, he's got a lot of good teaching on this subject of marriage, and I'm actually drawing from some of his teachings. I want to give him credit, and this is the last time I'll do it, because from now on it's as I always say, but he's got, and I encourage you, if you get a chance, I don't know what he's got online or what's out there, maybe you can order things from his, I encourage you to get things from him. You know, you want to know, who can I feed on? Well, feed on your pastors, but then feed on, there's some of these people that we talk about. Amen. I'm not talking about woo-woo stuff. I'm talking about good, solid stuff. It'll slap the silly out of you. But yeah, you'll be better off anyhow. Praise the Lord. And so it's good to have some good, solid guidance, because if Christians just had some good, solid guidance on some of these things, and some of us would speak up a little bit more, maybe there could some of this family pain could be avoided. Not maybe. It actually would be avoided. Now, you can't control other people. But right, just one of the main things is marrying right. So we're going to look at that.
Amen.
You know, regarding finding the right person, in so many cases, just being a Christian is not enough. There are some people that you just have to say, when it comes to considering them for a spouse, there are some people that you just have to say, dear heart, there's somebody for everybody. And for you, it must be a psychiatrist. Because they're wacky.
Come on now.
I mean, if you're not going to have a pastor, at least go to the psychiatrist and get this fixed up here.
Amen.
You could have laughed a little bit. It's supposed to be funny. Praise the Lord. I get shocked at the standards some Christians have. You don't want to, I don't know how I ever even said this to you. But when we first got here, some people, and I won't even go into detail who they were, but this one girl, she's so desperate for somebody that she found a guy that just gotten out of prison. I guess he was saved. I don't even know. Didn't even get that far. I just heard, when I heard he just got out of prison, my flags went up. You know what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm talking about? That's somebody with a low standard. You got to have some higher standards than that. Come on, somebody. Well, are you against somebody that's been in prison? No. Thank God. Maybe they got their life back turned around. But you can't get your mind renewed that fast. So anyhow, thank you for the good, solid feedback this evening. The best thing is to choose right. So concerning who you're going to choose, it's going to be a big decision. Now, many really underestimate the dangers of marrying wrong. The devil won't tell you up ahead all that's ahead for you if you marry wrong. It's very, very dangerous. Like, for example, you know, sometimes people, they know in their spirit that the person they're dating's not the right one. And so they'll just kind of spring it on us as the pastors. Just wanted to let you know, sometimes they try to hide it. Or they'll just spring it on you later and just want to let you know, this is what's going on. Well, we're not people's guru or people's oracle or prophet, or we don't have to be the ones that tell you whether it's God or not.
Right.
You know, I don't even, I'm not your Jesus. I'm not your God. I'm not your Holy Ghost. And I don't even want to be. I basically want to live my life and just give people the truth and let them live their life. I just like to stay out of people's lives. You understand? But right on the other hand, people do some of these things. You wonder, why didn't they come to the pastor? Because God gave them a pastor. You think he's just a figurehead? Do you think he doesn't have any voice into these things? Is it true that he's watching for your soul? Doesn't the Bible say that? He's watching out for you. And so if that's the case, then what are you hiding? What are you scared about? Well, I didn't want to have to answer a lot of questions. Why not? You ought to be able to answer all of them with a confident heart. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? There's an anointing on your pastor to help you. Besides that, sometimes whenever the last 13 people in the church you told about it, every time that you tell them, they go, oh, really? Oh, and their eyes get big. You might want to go home and pray about it. Because they got the Holy Ghost too. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so does everybody else. They've got big eyes whenever you. Hallelujah. So don't underestimate the dangers of this. It can be absolutely, things can turn bad quick. So take advantage of the help that's available to you in your pastors and other good Christian solid couples. Praise God. Now, marrying right is so important to the plan of God for your life that it actually can keep you from fulfilling the plan of God for your life. You understand that? It actually can keep you from even entering in, or maybe sometimes even forfeiting the plan of God altogether. I'm thinking about a lady we ministered to in healing school I didn't minister to him. Somebody else was there ministering. We just had a lot of fellowship around the story and what happened. But this particular person was in healing school for a lady, was in healing school for cancer, healing of cancer, and she was not making progress. Finally, because we had this in our heart, we'd do it from time to time, just take people off to the side, and just rather than just teach them in the class, we'd take them off to the side, just pray with them. We're not there to, you know, we're just there to see, just get in the presence of God with them and agree with them and just see if the Holy Ghost wants to say anything. Well, in this particular case, the ones that were praying with her kept getting something about a call on her life in their spirit. They kept getting some. See, when people come for help, then they're looking for help. So then God might tell you something. Yeah. But I don't believe we should go around just looking, you know, just being Holy Ghost policemen like, I see that was a bad confession or whatever, you know. But they're coming wanting help. So they were there and we were there to help people. And they prayed with them and something kept coming about this girl's call. Well, you know, if you know anything about these kind of things, when that comes up and you don't respond to it, there's no more unction in prayer. If you know anything about this. So they tried to keep on praying, you know, just batting that down, but there's no more unction. So finally they knew God enough, they realized, and the move of the Spirit enough, they realized that God wanted them to talk to her about this. So they just gently brought it up. You know, what's God's plan for your life? Has God spoken to you about what he wants you to do? And she looked at him kind of shocked and said, well, yes. God spoke to me when I was a young girl, maybe in her teenage years, but you know what, a young girl. Yeah. And said something to the effect about he wanted me to, as a missionary, go on the mission field. I don't know, but she's this lady's, I think, maybe in her 40s or something like that, from the way I was told. And they said, well, when we were praying, that started coming up to us. What are you going to do about that? Or are you doing anything about that? Well, she said, I wanted to, and I desire to do the plan of God, but I met this young man and fell in love with him, and he didn't want anything to do with the plan of God. And I told him about the call on my life. Yeah. But yet, right on the other hand, he wasn't interested. Yeah. But I loved him and wanted to marry him, so I did. Well, it's not working out when you're dying of cancer. Well, right. Hello? Yeah. It can keep you from fulfilling the plan of God. Yeah. Marrying wrong can keep you from fulfilling the plan of God. That's not something to scare anybody, but it should make us sober. Tell your neighbor, he's already preaching pretty good. Hallelujah. So, you know, when a young lady has, or a young man either way, has a call of God in their life and they marry somebody that doesn't want anything to do with it or that doesn't know about it. I remember one premarital session we had. We were going through the different things that we normally talk about. And I remember coming in one time very clearly. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, ask him if he's told her what he's called to do. And I said, all right. So I stopped it. And I said, sir, I said, this is premarital counseling. They're doing great today. But my point is, I asked this young man, I said, have you said to her what your call, what the call of God is on your life? He said, no. I said, well, it's not fair. It's not fair to her.
That's right.
You're inviting her into a life of walking together with you, unity with you, right? And you're not telling her what that's going to end up being.
All right, now.
Are you going to obey that call? Yeah.
All right.
Well, you're expecting her to go with you and you haven't told her. That's not fair.
That's right. Yeah.
I said, that's not fair. I said, you need to tell her right here in front of us what God's called you to do. So he told her and she burst into tears. You know, because in her mind, it was a call to the ministry. In her mind, that meant struggle. Yeah. That meant a lot of things. I said, wait, hold on. I had to get her calmed down. I said, you know, Pastor Debbie and I are in the ministry, and we're rich.
Yeah, come on.
I said, don't let the devil tell you that.
Exactly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the willing and obedient to eat the good of the land.
Yes,
amen.
I said, your thinking is wrong.
Yeah.
But I said to him, it wasn't fair for you not to tell her that. Well, she worked it out. She's all fine with it today. She's on board.
Amen.
Praise God, but it just wasn't fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how I got on that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. So, praise God, tell your neighbor again. That's just some pretty good preaching. When you have a call to the ministry, there's not as much latitude as far as who you marry. You're going to have to narrow it down to somebody that can walk that walk with you. And that's a whole other subject, which I won't get into tonight because I'm on too many rabbit trails as it goes. But they're all good, right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, you have divine help in marrying right, first of all. And I'm going to go through this kind of quickly because we talk about this all the time. Thank God for the inner witness. Y'all know about the inner witness, right? So marriage should be done by the inner witness just like everything else. Because you don't have a verse that says, thus saith the Lord, marry Susie Q over here or Joe Blow over there. You got to find out from the will. You got to ascertain the will of God in your spirit about those things. Now, there's general guidelines. We're going to go through those general guidelines, but they still don't tell you exactly who it is, right? So you got the inner witness. We're going to not spend as much time on that because we spend a lot of time talking about those kinds of things. Second of all, you got the help of the angels. Genesis 24:7. Is an interesting verse. I think all the singles ought to get a hold of it. And don't let it get away from you. It's talking about God providing Abraham's son Isaac a wife. And it says here, the Lord God, let me kind of tell you a story. Abraham made his servant swear. He loaded him up with camels full of jewels and gold and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't know how many camels it was, but loaded up, and made him swear that he would go to his homeland and find a wife for Isaac in his homeland.
Yes.
And don't get one of these heathen girls over here in the land we're in.
Right.
Go find somebody that's, you know, in unity with what we're doing as a family. Praise God. Following the plan of God. God has spoken to him. He's in the plan of God. So go back and get one of those good girls. So he swore, and he's, you know, they talked about it a little bit. And then here's what he said. He got down there to the well. You remember whenever Rebecca came out to the well, and the servant said, well, if she comes out and says, I'm going to water your camels for you, and then I'll say this, and she'll say that, then she'll be the one.
Yeah.
She'll be the one.
Yeah.
And it happened exactly like God, you know, like he said. So they get down there, and notice what the Lord, this is verse number 7, Genesis 24:7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, this is Abraham talking to the servant, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give the land, he shall send his angel before thee, talking to the servant, and thou shalt take a wife unto my sons from thence. That angel was going to go ahead of the servant and arrange that divine connection.
Yes.
Notice that. That my angel will go before thee. In other words, he's going to go out ahead of you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's for you singles here tonight. You can commission your angels, just like you've learned you've got angels, right? You've got angels and they can do certain things. You've learned that they can serve you as you serve the Lord. And we've learned it about money. But here it's telling us that this is true about a mate.
Amen.
This is true about a marriage partner.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So you high-pitched ladies, they got a high-pitched voice, you ought to say, go, ministering spirits, and bring that chunk in. Or if you want a hunk, he might be a hunk too. But. Just whatever your faith is. You might want a chunk, you might want a hunk. Praise the Lord. But notice the angel will prosper. Do you see that? He'll prosper your way. Praise God. He's going to prosper your way. He's going to provide a wife. He's going to lead. Remember whenever Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy got together, I think it was right after they got in, the next meeting they got in together, that there was another ministry ministering. I believe it was Billy Brim, actually. And she got up and she ministered by this Holy Ghost and spoke over Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy. The angels are in heaven rejoicing because they've been working to get you two together. You think that's just for Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy?
No, sir.
No, that's for you, singles.
Come on. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's for you. So you got divine help. That's my point. Don't think you're all on your own. Well, about my God, dear pastor, there's just not a very big pool of qualified applicants. Well, you can get divine help on this. Besides, there's a bigger pool than you think.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you ought to do something besides live in Cedar Rapids. Some of you ought to go to World Harvest with us a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just rub shoulders with some other God-fearing, God-hungry, Holy Ghost tongue-talking, aisle-running Christian singles.
Amen.
And then whenever you meet them, tell them, now there's one qualification. I don't go to your church, you come to my church. Hallelujah. We're going to build this church one way or another. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? You got help. But how many of you know you got to put some actions to that faith of yours? Put some actions to it. Don't sit around twiddle your thumbs. Somebody asks you out on a date and say, no, I'm believing God. Well, you old stooge, you're going to... Go out with somebody. Some of you girls, you don't go out with somebody, you're going to be an old hag eventually.
Come on. Tell it.
Well, praise the Lord. You guys, well, anyway, we won't get on to that. Put your faith to action. Hallelujah. Well, we'll get off of that because there's... Let's talk about the qualifications are more than just being saved a little bit. Would that be right? 2 Corinthians 6:14, we already read that. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We know what that means. That's talking about marriage. Don't get in a covenant of marriage with an unbeliever. Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, the Christian who marries one from another world, he's talking about an unsaved person, marries somebody from another world, marries someone from another family. Those who are ruled by Satan. Remember, Satan's the god of this world. Somebody's not born again. They're under the sway of the prince of the power of the air. Those that are ruled by Satan. Three things will happen as a result. The Christian will forfeit his freedom, limit his fellowship with God, and put himself under bondage to the world. I do not believe that is the will of God. I don't either. And there's no use, you know, like somebody said one time, you marry a child of the devil, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. That's the truth about it. Of course, we understand, you know, we've got issues of people already married, because sometimes, you know, people get married, they're not neither of them saved, and then one of them gets saved. Well, somebody said, well, what do I do about that? Well, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul goes through a lot of that kind of thing.
Yes.
There's, if he's pleased to dwell with you or she's pleased to dwell with you, that's fine. You realize. And you got certain things you can do to believe God for them. Right?
Yes, sir.
But so we don't have time to get into all of that. But I'm talking about just before you're married,
yeah.
Picking a mate. Right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, some have come in and said, well, they're born again. That's the bare minimum. This is not saying this is all that's important in the Bible when it comes to picking a mate. They need to be in unity. Remember the verse we always go to when we talk about marriage, Pastor Debbie and I's marriage verse, so to speak, when we do these seminars, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Together, 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 together. And we always emphasize that. Marriage has to be a place where there's unity. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So there's more to it than just, well, he's saved, she's saved. That's a bare minimum. There has to be unity. That's what this is about.
Yes.
Marriage is not supposed to be a ministry project.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be a ministry project. It's supposed to be someplace where two people are on the same page, not just saved, but spiritually. Do you know there's believers, you come in contact with them probably regularly, that they love God and everything, but boy, they're on a different page when it comes to speaking with tongues, divine healing. Some of them will fight you over it, right? Well, that's not marriage material. Got quiet in this Holy Ghost church. Amen. So there's more to it. How about are they hungry for God like you're hungry for God? Do they really reach for more in God? They must be somebody who has the equal spiritual aptitude and hunger so that you can make a life together with them in a home and be in unity. One of the greatest things that I see, Pastor David and I see about marriage, is that disunity over something, spiritual things, natural things. You know, you don't have to agree on every little thing, but, you know, I like purple, you like purple, oh, we can get married. No, that's not good enough. But I'm talking about the important things of life. Do you agree on raising your kids in the local church? There's things that have to be greater than just we're saved. Both of us love the Lord. You know, there's people that we see it all the time, all the time, all the time. One wants to go to this church. One wants to go to that church. One wants to go to a denominational church. One wants to come Spirit of Faith Family Church. And there's disunity there. Well, a lot of that can be fixed before. Now, I understand sometimes people come into greater revelation and one wants to go with the greater revelation, the other one doesn't.
Right.
I understand that. So, this is just talking about fixing, you know, making sure that you don't get into this whenever you didn't have to get into this. But right on the other hand, sometimes this is a big problem. And we've seen lady after lady after lady that pulled out of this church because their husband didn't want anything to do with speaking in tongues, you know, the message of faith or anything like that. It's an epidemic. Disunity is an epidemic in marriages today, especially spiritually. Well, so praise the Lord. Now, why do people compromise about this? Because this is a faith issue. You have to believe that God will, if you'll not compromise, that God will get you somebody to be in unity with.
Yes.
People compromise because, well, you know, my clocks are ticking. All my friends are getting married. You know. Well, might be true. Your clock might be ticking. Probably is. You know what I mean by that? Yeah, let's hope so. But here's the point.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to get the wrong one.
No.
Even though you don't get married until you're 30. You do not want to get the wrong one.
Right.
Your clock will tick a whole lot quicker. You just have to know that it's hell on earth. They compromise because it's a faith issue. Believe that God has somebody who loves God with all their heart, hungry like you're hungry, and that they are going to follow the plan of God. They have godly character. They're going to put God first. They got money, and they got good looks, and they got... Well, where's all the faith tonight? I'm telling you, where's all the faith tonight? They got stuck on that. We have a friend named Kate McVeigh. She says she's not believing God for honey. She's believing God for a honey with money. Yeah. Been believing God for decades. She's had a lot of honeys with money come along, and she just, anyway, don't tell her I said that. Praise God. Does he pray? Does he have a spiritual life? Does he have an aptitude for growing spiritually? Are y'all still glad you came? Yes. Now, he might not have, or she, it could be both ways, might not have the same, you know, they might not be as developed. I've seen some beautiful things happen along this line. Somebody met somebody that wasn't as developed spiritually as someone else. You know, and your first reaction is, ugh. But then there's this witness sometimes you get. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And here's the reason why. They are hungry.
Yes. Yes.
They're hungry.
Yes.
And hunger will catch you up.
Yes.
If they're hungry, that can catch them up.
Yes.
But if they're not hungry, well, they started coming to church. When I started coming to church, yeah, because they want to get you. But they didn't show that. You need to pick somebody that showed some hunger before you met them.
Yeah.
Not hungry because, hey, I'll do whatever I can do to get this girl.
Yeah. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, praise God. They might be behind in spiritual development, but if they have equal hunger, they can catch up. I like that. So they might be, you know, somebody, one of them might be a further ahead than the other one in spiritual things, but that can all change if they're hungry. Now, so let's look at something else here. Why, Pastor, are you being so narrow-minded about this? Because of 1 Peter 3:7. You have to know that you and him are going to have to be heirs together.
Yeah.
Together. Every Christian, every believer is an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So, but it takes a special knack to be an heir together with somebody else. It takes a knack to walk in unity and get that blessing. An heir together blessing is greater than an heir as a single blessing. Because their inheritance is yours, and their inheritance, or your inheritance is theirs, and that's more than individually your inheritance by yourself. And if you really want to be honest about it, the Bible says that there's even a tenfold blessing on that. Hallelujah. So that's why, if you want to call us narrow-minded about this, I mean, you can do whatever you want. This is not Pastor Jay saying you have to do this. You can do whatever you want. But I just warning you ahead of time that if you'll hold the standard higher, and parents, train your children just to not to, you train your children not to be a bottom feeder. You know what I mean by bottom feeder? Bottom feeder fish are fish that go down to the bottom and they clean up everything left over. You know, I'm not even going to go into what that is, but that's the way some Christians are. They're bottom feeders. Anything that falls and nobody else wanted them. Well, glory to God. This unction tonight, this agreement with the word. Woo-hoo. Biblical instructions are there to produce unity. And unity is the strength of the relationship. Division, Satan's working to divide. And the more unity you can walk in as a husband and wife, the less Satan can get in there. Now, so parents, train your children about these things. You don't want to, remember we were talking about a week and a half ago, Sunday morning, we were talking about training children.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about how that sometimes, well, like we gave the example that God chose Abraham because he said he's going to train his children right.
Yeah. Right.
In other words, there was a plan God had. It wasn't just God was trying to give Abraham Canaan's land. It was a whole nation that would bring in the Messiah. And so God had a plan that was going to take multi-generations to bring it to pass. And so he said, Abraham's somebody I can work with over multiple generations because he'll train his children right. Right? And so there are things that God is doing in the earth today, just like he was doing in Abraham's day. And he's looking for people that are multi-generationally minded. And what that means is they understand that what God's doing is not going to be finished in my generation. I'm going to have to train up the next generation so that they can carry on. We'll pass the baton to them. We pass that on to them, and they carry this on. And whenever we go to be with Jesus, I don't think Jesus is going to wait very much longer. How many of you are with me on that? But lest we got to act like we're going to be down here forever. Amen. As far as training the next generation. Yeah. Yeah. And if we go to be with Jesus, that nothing will be lost.
Yeah.
There'll be people of faith.
Yeah.
There'll be people that move with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what God said he wants.
Yeah.
That's why he chose Abraham.
Amen.
Then we looked at Joshua and his generation, one of the most, probably the greatest faith generations of that time. They took Canaan's land, all that. And then remember the next generation, they didn't train the children right because the next generation came up, didn't know God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And things were lost.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that. Remember that? So we as parents have to train children.
Yeah.
It's a big deal with God.
Yeah.
But how about training them? Because we train them in a lot of things. How about training them to pick the right mate? Have you been training your children? And I'm not talking about start whenever they're 16. Have you been doing it? Have you been saying anything to them? Have you told them anything about, okay, here's what mommy and daddy need you to do. We need you to be thinking, and you need to start training them and start having them think about certain things. Praise God. Why train them in these things? Because they've never been married before. That's a revelation. So if they've never done it before, they need to be trained. Why do we think people just know how to do things whenever the world proves that no people don't know what they're doing? So don't just leave it up to them to know how to pick a mate. Train them on how to pick a mate. So if you leave it up to them, you don't put any, you know, you don't give them any training, don't be surprised when they mess up. I'm not talking about picking a mate for them. But there ought to be talking about certain things, about certain guidance of the Holy Spirit as you're led by the Holy Spirit, guiding your children, because each of them are unique.
Yes.
Guiding your children on how to pick a mate.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, how do I help them pick a mate? Okay. Well, one of the biggest considerations for them to pick the right mate is the plan of God for their life.
That's right.
What is the plan of God for their life? Yeah. Well, Pastor, I don't know. Well, you better find out.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, I didn't know God would tell me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He'll at least give you enough information to train them right, because here's what God did. That child, the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. They came from the Lord. They're on loan from the Lord. God gave them to you to train them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's looking for somebody. Somebody said, God, do something with my kids. He did. He gave them you. He gave them a parent.
Amen.
Yeah, see, he's looking for somebody to train them and train them about, you know, following God's plan and particularly for their life. Okay, that's going to include picking the right mate for their plan. How do you know what their plan is? I believe every child, God has a plan for every child. Doesn't matter if they were surprised to you. Do you know that if God hadn't put a spirit in that egg and that sperm, when that egg and sperm came together, that you wouldn't have had that baby? So God was involved in that child's conception. God has a plan for every single one of them. So that plan is something that he will not hide from you. Remember the Bible said God will show you, the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. Does that apply to your children? Sure does. Sure, he'll show you what's coming. Maybe not every detail, but he'll show you enough to train them and get them going the right direction. Go over to the book of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Praise God. I just know we're not going to get this all out tonight. But in order to establish what we're talking about right now, look at Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 23. Excuse me. Yes, verse number 23, Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Say it out loud, by faith, Moses.
By faith, Moses.
But if you read the rest, he's not talking about Moses' faith. He's talking about Moses' parents' faith. By faith, Moses' parents here, they, you know the story. This was in a time whenever Pharaoh was killing all the babies because they were multiplying. The Hebrews were multiplying. The Hebrews were slaves. They were multiplying too quickly. And so God spoke to Moses' mother. But anyway, while Pharaoh's trying to kill Moses, or all the babies really, but Moses is born and so he's going to be killed. God spoke, apparently, I really think there's a whole lot more to this than what the Bible tells us here. Because it says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
How do you have faith? How's faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing. God said something to them. God said something to Moses' parents about Moses. About the plan of God for Moses. Isn't that right? That's absolutely the truth. So with that in mind, there's obviously more to this story than what we're being told. God apparently spoke to them. And God will do the same thing for you. God will tell you about your children and tell you what they need. Because every child needs trained in line with the word generally. But there are specific things for specific ones, specific children that they need. We've shared this verse. I'll just quote it. This is in the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, the 6th verse, the Amplified Classic. Remember the train up a child in the way he should go? The Amplified Classic says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift and bent. Say that out loud. Gift and bent. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. So God expects you to train your child in keeping with their individual. In other words, there's an individuality to the training. There's some things that are general, but there are some things that are individual. How do I train them individually? We train them all in light of the word. But what about certain things individually? According to their gift and their bent. Well, if you don't know what that gift is, then you can't do what God told you to do. So God's obligated to tell you what that gift is.
Yes.
Ask him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, is this one called to the ministry? What's your plan for this one?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because you're the steward of that child. Stewardship is managing something that the owner has given you stewardship over. It's managing it on behalf of somebody else. You are, as parents, managing or stewarding those children for God.
Yeah.
What do you mean? For his plan for their life. God has given them a plan.
Yes.
And then they each have a bent also.
Yes, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of them have more of a bent of rebellion.
Yeah.
Right? Some of them, you just look at them straight and they straighten up.
Yeah.
So you deal with different ones of them different.
Yeah.
Some of them, you got to smack the tar out of them.
Yeah, you do.
I don't mean child abuse. I'm not encouraging child abuse, but I am encouraging spankings.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
My mama told me she did that because she loved me. And I said, right. But then I found out later. Yeah, she actually did love me.
Yeah.
Pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So individual gift and bent. Is that the way God told you to train them? So before they belong to you, they belong to God. God's given them to you to train them. That's why I don't say to God, do something with this child. Now, there might be something you didn't do because you didn't know, and then you came into the light, and now they're 17, 18 years old, and they're not walking in the light. Well, then, you know, you come behind, you don't know, you didn't do things right. Then you can ask God, say, Lord, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
Help me, help them.
Yeah.
Right? So you know what I'm talking about. Now, God's obligated to tell you his plan for each of your children. You know, at least enough for you to give them some guidance. So, Your training has to be in the light of that. Remember, Pastor Nancy talked about God spoke to her about both Grant and Stephen first, and then Grant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she told them. Sometimes people were led differently, but she was led to tell them. Praise the Lord. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to show them things to come. He'll show you what's ahead for your child, which includes the plan for each of your children. Praise God. Then you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember Ephesians 6:4? And you train them for that. Now, when it comes to being a skilled athlete, everybody understands training. But sometimes people think, well, when it comes to raising children, well, they just turn out good or bad. No, they turn out according to their training. They turn out according to their training. Children need to be, they need input from parents. Your influence is the greatest legacy you can leave with your children. Your influence. When you properly train, that influence will guide them even when they get out of the house. Hallelujah. Why? Because training is different than teaching. Training, you make them do it. You make them do it until it becomes first nature. Right? And then whenever they get out of the house, it's just first nature. I remember when I went to Rhema, there was a dean that when we were at Rhema, oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. I'm just having such a fun. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having teaching this series. We're going to go another Wednesday night.
Amen.
Or maybe we'll get to it on Sunday. We'll just flow with this.
Amen.
But remember when we went to Rhema, there was a dean there. Boy, a lot of people didn't like him. He was strict and stern. We got to know him after graduation, not during school, but after graduation, we got to know him. We got in a group where there was some interaction with him. He's the sweetest guy. You know who I'm talking about, Dean Moffitt. And so anyway, dealing with the students. That's where people thought he was too stern. Anyway, we would be coming through, you know, class would dismiss, we'd go to the next class. I remember distinctly walking into Brother Hagin's Faith Library class, I don't know, many times. I've seen this many times. And Dean Moffitt standing right there at the door, watching people go by, watching students go by. Every now and then he'd hand them a slip of paper, you know, a little blue slip of paper. And I never got one. But then he'd stand up and he'd say, now all you've got the blue slip of paper, all you guys got the blue slip of paper, go get you a haircut. Don't come back to school until you get your haircut. Boy, people were, they're all puffed up and got in a knot about it. And I never understood why they got such a knot about it. It was already in the handbook ahead of time what the rules were. And I never had any trouble with that. I just understood the rules are the rules.
Yes.
And I asked somebody about it one day, and I said, I don't know why I didn't have any trouble with the rules. They said, that's because of the home you grew up in.
Yep.
You were trained.
Yeah.
These people weren't trained. Some of them got saved 2 years ago off the streets doing drugs, and they got saved, and they're on fire for God and came to Rhema, but they never got trained. And so that wine is just all the rebellion coming out. Hallelujah. It was easy for me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, if you train your child right, you won't have to have so much heartache. Thank God. Amen. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
Well, we're kind of running out of time. But when it comes to professional athletes, people understand training. People understand putting in the hard work. But when it comes to raising children or training children, people just kind of think they turn out the way they turn out. One of the greatest revelations of pastoring has been how much the atmosphere of the home affects the way children turn out. Absolutely. I get bug-eyed about it sometimes. Like, oh my goodness. Look at the difference. Look at the difference. I told somebody recently, I brought them on to a position. I wanted them to help in a particular position. I said, I'm just going to tell you straight. You know why you're getting this position? I said, because I've been watching your children. And your children are being trained right. And that tells me a lot about what's going on in your home.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Tell your neighbor this is shouting ground anyhow. But whenever somebody's trained right, like an athlete, when an athlete is trained right, that'll enable him to reach levels that other athletes won't reach.
Yeah.
If they're willing to put in the work and train, be trained. Let somebody, let a coach train them. Let somebody train them.
Amen.
And then when they don't like the training, just be trained anyhow.
Yeah.
That'll enable that athlete to reach certain levels. Maybe he wouldn't reach otherwise, or maybe others won't reach. Well, the same thing's true with your children.
Yes.
Your training determines how far they go in life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tell your neighbor, pastor wants to keep on going, but we're running out of time. Thank you, Jesus. I got to get to training children and who to marry. I'm getting there. Amen. So we'll get to that. Praise the Lord. I got to get to that. Maybe let's just see if we can get to it on Sunday. What do you say? My goodness. I hope we can get to it. Lord, I say I hope because I'm open to whatever the Lord wants us to do. But praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lot we got to say about marriage.
Yes, sir.
Training children how to pick the right one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand up with me to your feet. Hallelujah. You don't have to lose a single one of your children. Proverbs 22 said so. Train them up in the way they should go. Not the way they want to go. Train them up in the way they should go when they get old. Now, if you read the old, in the Hebrew, old means hair on the chin. So he's talking about puberty. Last I checked, that's when hair starts growing on. I'm talking about the late. No, I'm talking about the men. I get in trouble if I don't stop messing with you. But no, well, that's what, whatever age, it varies a little bit. Praise God. Go life back here. He's got some hair on his chin. So he's old. According to Proverbs 22, he's old. Train up a child in the way he's going. When he gets old, he'll not depart. So that's not talking about just, of course, all his life. But it started whenever puberty comes. Any of you guys remember when the hair started growing on your chin? Man, you thought you was something, didn't you? I remember asking my mom for a razor. And I remember one day I was out in the yard talking. I think it was my uncle I was talking to. I'll never forget this story. I'm out there talking to my uncle and I'm, hey, 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 hey. And then my voice dropped right in the middle of my sentence. And I, and you know, guys' voice drop whenever they get to a certain age. So I was talking to my uncle saying something. Hey, 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 hey. No, no, no. Well, I just got old. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You have as much fun as I'm having. I'm just having a good time. This is like a family, kind of like a family talk almost. You got anything you want to meddle in? We got to do, so yeah, we'll do more on Sunday or Wednesday. We'll get to it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't mean to be so long-winded, just got to get it all out. That's one thing about pastoring. You just take your time, take your time, take your time.
Hallelujah.
But there's a lot. I really wanted to get to this. There's some good things coming. I'm just telling you, there's some good things coming. Praise God. So Sunday, there's things going to be things for singles. There's going to be things for parents on Sunday. And if you're a senior citizen, you can help us train these young whippersnappers. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it out loud. I'm going to stand.
Now,
mainly the singles here. You can all agree with them. But the singles, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to compromise. Just because it seems like time is passing. God's got somebody for me. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, if you're talking to somebody there, tell them, this somebody for me is God-fearing, God-loving, puts God first, has good character, he's good-looking, or she's good-looking, and they'll be a mate for me all my life. And it'll be heaven on earth, because I'm going to stand for the right one. Now, here's a little piece of advice for those of you that just said that. Don't just stand for the right one, but be the right one.
Yes.
Be the right one. Because if that girl or boy, whoever it is, man, some people are looking for a man, not a boy. Hallelujah. You ought to all be looking for the girls, looking for a man, not a boy that plays video games, but a man. Now they're in faith. Now they're in faith. But that if they're worth being your mate, you know what I mean by worth that? I mean, they have the kind of right standards, serving God, loving God, go to church, you know, all those things. If they're worth being the right one, then they're somewhere right now praying for the right one. So that means respond to the Holy Ghost when he says, now turn that TV off and read your Bible. Renew your mind about this and that and the other. I want you to crucify the flesh, and I want you to fix yourself up a little nicer. And I want you to get some nicer clothes. And I want you to, can I just help some of you young single guys? Can I just help you in love? Some of you, not everybody, but some of you, you come to church. Now, I realize your parents maybe aren't training you right, but I'm going to help your parents right here. But you come to church, your clothes are all wrinkly. And your hair looks like you slept on it for 12 hours. And you didn't comb it. And you're not clean kept. Don't tell me you're believing for a 10. Don't tell me you're believing for a 10. Because you ain't going to get her. You ain't going to get her. She'll see you and turn and look the other way. She might even run. If you ask her for a date, she'll say, get away from me. Because you're just unkept. And I don't blame her. I'd encourage her. I got some other ones in mind. I'm going to hook them up with you. He'll come up with some other ones. Don't stay away from him. You think I'm kidding? I had someone, young person here in the church recently, came to me and said, I'm thinking about so-and-so. I said, oh, you are? I said, good. You going to ask her out? Yeah, but I just wanted to talk to you what you think about her. I said, well, here's what I know. And I told him what I knew, and it's all good. It's all good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I were you, I'd go for it. I said, I don't know if she's going to say yes, because this is a free nation, you know. You just Hallelujah. We can't, we'd like to arrange some marriages, but we can't do that. We could just start a new ministry, tap into my prophetic gift and say, okay, you hook up with this one. And you'll live happily ever after. And that'll be $100, please. But no, we're not going to do that. So people have the right to say no, right? But if pastor comes and says, oh, yeah, I'd go for that one if I were you, then you just got a good endorsement. Hallelujah. And I'm just proud of him for finding somebody. And actually, the Lord was putting it in his heart. That doesn't mean she has to say yes. You understand? Anyhow, I'm digging a hole. I better quit. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All right, I don't know how to quit, so I guess I'll just quit. Tell your neighbor, don't miss Sunday. You're going to miss half your life if you miss Sunday. We'll just see if the Lord leads us this way. But somewhere between Sunday or next Wednesday, we'll get into this some more. Hallelujah. 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 Let's do some things right. What do you say?
Amen.
Mary, right. Yes. Hallelujah.